I believe I have Alan Burke on the line. Are you there, Alan?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining the Green Authority this morning. When I first saw just the quick brief about the documentary as well, I was very interested. I'm a huge documentary lover. Anyone who listens to the show regularly knows that
sure.
I love talking to directors and stuff.
Yeah.
But the environmental connection wasn't immediately obvious. But there definitely is one. We'll get to that in 1 second. First
sure.
of all, do you want to just tell the story of how you actually came about? Because you didn't set out to make a documentary, as many of the good documentaries came about. How did you actually end up making this film?
Well, it was secondary to set out making a documentary. I have some property up in Georgian Bay, and we have our mosquito infestation like everyone else. And I'm not so affected by them, but certainly guests that we've had there and other people are affected. And that got me curious. So in a way, it came out of that, out of a real event. As I started looking into it, I just found these creatures to be fascinating. And the more I found out about them, I guess the more I thought I wanted to share this information. There wasn't a lot of information out there. And the best way to do that was a documentary. So I began to do some research and figure it out and then put it together. Part of that also is that I wanted the film to be seen, so I wanted to pitch it to broadcasters so that it would get out there and be seen, and be seen in a popular medium like television. So I then pitched it to Nature Think CBC. Surprisingly, there hasn't been a film done on mosquitoes by anyone in the last little while. And now that I've finished with it, I kind of understand why. It was a difficult film to do in some ways.
A lot of zoom lenses, I imagine.
I could talk for a long time about the type of extenders we had and reversing lenses. More than that, the patience, and in particular on the technical side, the lighting and the keeping it in focus. Because as the longer you go with your focal length, the shorter your depth of field, and it takes a fair bit of light. And then on top of that, mosquitoes are not great actors. They're kind of, on one side, very kind of lethargic, kind of hang around, and all of a sudden they're full of energy and go. So to trap them and to put them, and what we had to do, to go on about this a little bit, is that we had to virtually freeze them, not kill them, but cool them way down. This is the standard way that entomologists work with mosquitoes. And then bring them out and then put them in front of our camera. We built a small plexiglass aquarium that we would put them in that we could see through, and then we'd have to film and film until they began to kind of stand on their legs and spread their wings, and then they'd be gone. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of patience. My cameraman, the main cameraman on this, Mike Ellis, is more a documentary cameraman than he is a science cameraman. So he had to really, really understand them and be very patient. And then also we employed a person who's a specialist on this type of photography as well, shooting through microscopes and that type of thing.
Speaking of actors,
sure. Yeah.
Who was the sucker you got in all the shots to be? But someone was being hit hundreds of times there.
Those are my cameos. Many of them are me. Many of them are Brock University helped us a lot. We had an entomologist there, Ainsley Thielman, and she gave her arm for science as well. My partner Gene Burke, he gave her arm for science. I keep saying, if people are doing films on wolves and things, they don't get eaten. there we were putting our arms in and letting them bite away.
So one of the obvious environmental health and
sure.
human health aspects to this obviously is West Nile. I think
yeah.
most people, I definitely do. Most people, if they haven't gotten West Nile, at least know someone that has.
Yep.
But talk a little bit about what the actual danger is, because we think of mosquitoes as a pest, but what is the actual danger to human health?
Yeah, and I can't go into, and nor was it the purpose of the film to really, it was to say how mosquitoes transmit these viruses and parasites, so I can't really go into the health aspects of West Nile and the symptoms and that type of thing. But the fact is, certain mosquitoes transmit certain viruses and parasites, and they go about that by, they're very kind of innocent, they're unwitting messengers, like don't kill the messenger in a way, but in this case maybe kill them because they can't transmit it. But their very nature is that they want blood to survive. That's how they live, that's how they feed their eggs, and then they get fertilized and hatch. So in some ways, there's not much other purpose to them beyond feeding and then generating new mosquitoes. So they're built for that, you know, and they have this tiny proboscis, which in some ways is admirable. The way it goes in, it pricks into the skin. That was part of what we were trying to do and are trying to do in the film, and people that watch it will see it, that we're trying to show how, in fact, they've adapted themselves and how they actually function. And there's something quite admirable about that. So we were trying to show those types of things, as well as how they navigate by kind of the moon and stars, how they don't actually see us but smell us, how important smell is to mosquitoes as they're attracted to us, which might explain why they go after some people and not other people as well.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting environmental aspects that jumped up here was the idea of biomimicry, which is something that we've talked about on the show before. It's one of my sort of pet personal issues. But biomimicry is one of the applications of it is the idea where you sort of basically, the simplified version is you learn from nature and then replicate it, because evolution has had a lot more time to work out some of these problems than we have.
See. Okay. So, I'm not familiar with that term, but anyway. Yep.
Yeah, so the idea is basically is that, like, for an example I've used before was a lot of like deep sea diving suits have been designed to mimic shark skin. They've used properties involved in the shells of sea life to actually use it as heat shields on NASA spacecraft, stuff like that. And so the idea here is, you know, people just think of mosquitoes as pests, but there is, you know, and so like, ah, screw it, let's just eradicate all of them. But you get into some of the details here about the efficiency of the needles, the drug that they use to sterilize the skin. Like,
that's right.
There's some reason. There's definitely some things we can learn from mosquitoes.
Yeah, and also interesting how they reacted to DDT. I mean, it really was very effective at getting rid of mosquitoes. It really got, and they are introducing it in small little places under controlled situations in Africa. But of course, it had all sorts of environmental problems. But during the time DDT was used, there's evidence that mosquitoes were actually beginning to figure out how to protect themselves from it. That their outer shell was becoming harder as they encountered DDT. So that type of thing, if that could be analyzed and figured out how that evolved, that might be of some help as well. We also found with a couple of the scientists that they were trying to figure out what it was within certain types of mosquitoes that didn't, say, you took a type that usually transmitted the malaria parasite, but why don't other ones? And so some of the they're working on what we can learn about what they don't do, and maybe figure out from there how we can stop the transmission of these diseases.
The film talks about some issues, like brings in climate change, land use, globalization, social upheaval, for instance, talking about migration and breeding. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, it really comes down to climate change, that as the situation changes, as we say, get warmer here, there's going to be a type of mosquito called the Asian tiger. It carries the dengue virus. It could well be coming up into Canada. So as climate change happens, it only makes sense. But it's kind of a hidden one. Like, people don't normally think of this. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that climate change, the problem with it. But one is we're creating environments now where mosquitoes that have lived in hot, wet climates in other parts of the world now perhaps will begin to migrate up into our area. So there's that type of thing. What we found when we went to Bangladesh, and you can see this in the film, is that is fast becoming an unregulated, almost mega city. And where there were habitats for a certain type of mosquitoes, a certain type of Aedes mosquito, they're being pushed out. And those types of Aedes mosquitoes didn't really transmit any disease, but they're being pushed out by another type of Aedes mosquito, but they're being pushed out by construction and expansion and bringing in another type of mosquito that lives inside houses, and they are the potential transmitter of dengue. So the incidence of dengue, of the virus dengue, in people is rising, and it becomes of that. And when you go to anywhere in Southeast Asia, but I can only talk about Dhaka and Bangladesh, I mean, the place is crazy. It's a pile of energy, and I mean, I think eventually in the long term the country is going to be successful because there's so much activity and energy, but the expansion is remarkable, and this is one of the prices to be paid for it.
All right. We've only got a couple of minutes left, but the one last thing I wanted to get at here was you mentioned issues that sort of remind me of the GMO conversation about with respect to food. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how genetic modification mixes into this.
Well, again, there are certain entomologists that are trying to change the genetic balance of what mosquitoes are, and they've figured out a gene which will stop mosquitoes from transmitting disease. They now put that into a mosquito, and then the second generation down, that mosquito then carries that gene. The mosquito can have a signifier, and the eye turns green. There's a little green kind of goblet of juice coming out of it, which signifies that the gene has taken. But I mean, the arguments are the same as anywhere else. Is this a good thing? What are we going to unleash? On one hand, I mean, if it stops the spread of malaria and dengue and West Nile, you know, and there's an argument on one side that we've always fiddled around with nature. There's all sorts of, you know, vaccines and antibiotics and things, and some ways have done very good. The other side is, what are we doing? And, you know, they do fit in, mosquitoes do fit into the grand scheme of things. They're part of the food chain, you know, and other animals eat them and want them as part of their life. So how does the whole thing fit? But the arguments are very similar. They're on a minute scale when it comes to mosquitoes, but they're the same as the other arguments, you know, the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm. Having looked at this, though, would you be willing to give a personal opinion on that? Do you have a feeling about which is the greater threat, the messing around with genetics of mosquitoes or dengue and malaria?
That's a tough question.
It was intended as such.
Boy, I can only give a qualified answer on that.
If
it's proven in tests that genetically modifying a mosquito, and they'd have to be very good tests, if that stops the death of many people. I mean, mosquitoes, it is argued, are the greatest cause of death and disease in the world. So if you could do something to stop that, and there were no harmful repercussions, I'd be in favor of it. Yeah, I think at least the research should go on.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think one final connection I would just like to make as well, having taken a little look at the video and having looked through this and talking to you today as well, the idea that, you know, like climate change, dengue and malaria and West Nile have not, you know, it's not like they just showed up 5 minutes ago.
No, it's true.
They've been around for quite some time, and the, you know, less rich nations have been experiencing already the effects of climate change, and it's kind of not until climate change hits North America that everybody gets excited and does something about it.
Yeah, I know.
And I just wanted to take a minute to kind of draw that parallel as well, that, you know, malaria and dengue have been killing people for a long time, but it's not until it gets to North America that we start to genetically modify stuff.
Yeah, no, that I make a film on it. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
Well, it's not your fault.
That's how I started, you know, the conversation. It was at my back door. I was aware, you know, the Rick Mercer stuff, I was aware of what was going on, but no, it was only when it really hit me that I thought, man, something should be said about this. I just want to say that the film is about the diseases, of course, but it also, in a way, I think of it as a celebration. It is a really, I think, unique and powerful look at how these creatures work and how they function, and that some of the photography is pretty good in it.
Yeah, that was one of the things I liked, actually. Is that you don't have sort of, it's not a preachy doom is coming sort of thing. It's more of a just kind of a fun look at of an aspect of our lives we don't really think about.
A little bit of that, because it's such a deadly subject that there was a little bit of lightheartedness in the way we presented the information. Is very serious information, but also, and I just want to emphasize that there's a lot of really interesting good photography to see how these things, they're so small, and to get that on a big screen is quite something.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
That's all the time we've got, but thanks again for joining us, Alan Burke.
Call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and that will be airing on the Nature of Things January the 17th at 8 p.m. Is there anywhere else, if people miss it on that date at that time, is there going to be anywhere else people can catch it?
I think Nature of Things posts their programs. I'm quite sure they do a few days after, so they can go to the Nature of Things website. It's called Zapped, the Buzz About Mosquitoes, and they can go to the website and get it, and it will be broadcast,
Absolutely.
And
thanks
if there
so
are specific requests, they could come through you to me. There's a Vimeo up there, which I just don't want it out generally, but I could actually pass that on to some people too.
Absolutely. So you can email us if you'd like. That's thegreenmajority@gmail.com.
Sure.
Thanks again for joining us, Alan.
Good. Thanks a lot.